next on the 5 o'clock report.
I'm trying to stay in my lane.
I have people's roofs in my house.
The Russians have destroyed everything.
If you're not clear, then they will assume you're weak.
We try to lower the panic level.
Now, let's go to the newsroom.
On the hot seat, good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Supreme Court pick Ketanji Brown Jackson defended her record today during a heated Senate confirmation hearing, but she refused to say how she would rule on a host of hot button issues.
I have limited power. I am trying in every case to stay in my lane.
The nominee told the Judiciary Committee that she will rule from a position of neutrality if confirmed as the nation's first black woman on the high court. The 51-year-old added that when she rules, she does so without fear or favor.
I am clearing my mind of any preconceived notions about how the case might come out. I'm setting aside any personal views.
Former federal prosecutor Andrew McCarthy says the votes are there to confirm the judge so she can be as vague as she wants to.
She can give very elliptical and vague answers because she knows she's going to be confirmed. It's not make or break that she take a particular position. That's the game that will be played with respect to her confirmation.
GOP senators have called into question the nominee's lenient sentencing of child abusers. Democrats hope to have the judge confirmed by Easter. Massacre in Mariupol. Russia's war on Ukraine rages on.
Hell on earth.
The brutal beatdown by Putin's army continues in the Ukrainian port city. Here's correspondent Jonathan Hahn.
Block by block, street by street, building by building, the Russians have destroyed everything in their path.
80% of Mariupol is no more. Family Life's Brandon Dixon puts a human face on the war as he spoke today with Ken Sensenig of the Mennonite Central Committee.
The conflict, it is absolutely devastating. The destruction, very real. The loss of lives, very real there as well. But are we getting some stories of some good? Are you hearing any stories of hope like that?
Life tries to go forward normally in some context. One picture that made quite an impression on me was how a little girl and some of her friends had tried to find a way of continuing a normal life. And so she had taken a cardboard carton. She had cut little holes in the side for windows, and she and her friends had made a dollhouse out of this cardboard carton that they could be relieved of the conflict for the moment, and they could sit with it, play with their dollhouse. The interesting thing to me in that picture when I saw it was this carton was labeled with Mennonite Central Committee Food for Relief. It had formerly held 24 cans of canned beef. It was now empty. It now become a dollhouse. And so resilient children trying to find hope and meaning in the midst of conflict.
That is Ken Sensenig with the Mennonite Central Committee helping out where he can in Ukraine. President Biden heads for Europe tomorrow and will try to tilt the trajectory of the war. South Carolina's Lindsey Graham.
Putin owns Biden. Biden is afraid of escalation. He's afraid of making Putin mad. The one thing I've learned with bullies like Putin, if you're not clear, then they will assume you're weak.
The president attends a NATO summit Thursday in Belgium. He'll visit Poland Friday. His press secretary, Jen Psaki, will not make the trip. She tested positive for COVID today. The cleanup continues from killer tornadoes that tore up Texas last night. Correspondent Chris Cox has more from hard-hit Round Rock.
Roofs are gone, trees uprooted, cars knocked over. That's what life looks like today for the people who live on Whirlwind Trail in Round Rock. The tornado spared almost no one. Homeowner Laura Dane.
Roofs started coming off. I have people's roofs in my house right now. Came out, and it's complete devastation.
Round Rock police helicopters overhead assessing damage. Chainsaws clearing fallen trees. Shelby Blades and her neighbors still without power.
By the looks of some of these houses, I mean, bless them. I hope everybody's okay.
Chris Fox, Round Rock, Texas.
A spring heat wave expected to challenge record highs in California this week. L.A. and San Francisco will see the temperature soar into the mid-80s. Palm Springs will break 90. Meantime, Washington, D.C.'s cherry blossoms hit their peak this week, 10 days ahead of schedule. West Virginia Governor Jim Justice today signed a pro-life law. It makes illegal down Down Syndrome abortions. That law takes effect June 10th in the Mountain State. Planned Parenthood out with another promotional gimmick. It's not sitting well in some circles, as we hear from Michael Harrington.
The nation's largest abortion business put in an appearance at the popular South by Southwest Film Festival in Austin, Texas last week, arriving with an abortion-themed ice cream truck. The vehicle, which served both ice cream and contraceptives to festival goers, bore a sign that read, quote, "Ice cream, you scream, abortion rights for all." Even some abortion supporters went to social media to express the thought that the truck was in poor taste.
That's Michael Harrington in Washington. Still to come on the 5 o'clock report, teaching the war, rethinking marijuana, and praying for Putin.
I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. For tonight, increasing cloudiness, low temperatures in the 20s and low 30s. Rain will overspread the region tomorrow with a wintry mix at the start. Temperatures will range in the afternoon from the upper 30s in south central New York to the mid 50s in northwest Pennsylvania. Rain will taper to showers and drizzle on Thursday morning to milder day on Thursday with high temperatures then in the 50s and lower 60s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. Checking news from New York and Pennsylvania today. A 21-year-old woman was charged with murder today for the deaths of two state troopers and a pedestrian near Philadelphia early yesterday. Cops say the suspect was under the influence when she ran her car erratically into all three as those police officers were stopped along I-95 south of city to assist the pedestrian. A Painted Post New York woman has just helped her mom escape Ukraine. Natasha Hartman tells WETM that her mom made it to the southern tier after 2 weeks of dodging Russian rockets.
It's terrible. Children are being killed. Pregnant women die. It just so many innocent lives are lost. And it just incomprehensible and very difficult to process.
Meantime, a faith leader in the Southern Tier speaking out on the war. I spoke today with Susan Betz-Tomer of the Shiloh Community Church in Corning. One of the more frightening images to me, and there's so many frightening images in this war, is the picture of Vladimir Putin in that soccer stadium last Friday, where he had the audacity to quote Jesus to justify the invasion. Did that really strike a chord in you as well?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, as you know, he was trying to quote 1 John 3:16, and it says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our life for the brothers." But the very next verse, 17, says, "But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him?"
Yeah. It begs the question, is this man a man of faith as warped as it is? He claims to be a member of the Russian Orthodox Church, but does not like to talk about his faith. How has he been able to pull the wool over the eyes of the Russian people for so long?
Well, I mean, people can claim whatever they want to claim, but we know not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, Matthew 7:21.
Yeah.
So the Soviet Union, before Russia became Russia again, was a communist socialist state, and they very much discouraged religious faith.
Yeah.
So I think that possibly the culture has changed such that they don't know it when they see it, and they don't know it when it's not there.
God's forgiveness covers all. Whosoever will may come.
Mm-hmm.
How do you pray for a guy like Vladimir Putin? My prayer is that somebody will off this guy, and then I feel like, well, is that what Jesus wants? How do you pray for a guy like Vladimir Putin?
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, we prayed for Vladimir Putin in church last Sunday, and we pray that someone touches his heart and he really gets saved to Christ, because if he did, his eyes would immediately be opened and he would see the terrible thing that he was doing and he would have a godly desire to right the wrongs in as much as it was possible for him to do so. So, my prayer for him is that he gets saved.
That's Susan Betz-Tomer with the Shiloh Community Church in Corning, New York. So what are the kids saying about this war? Family Life's Bill Price caught up with Christy Lewis, a history teacher at Washington Middle School in Jamestown.
You're talking about this. More importantly, the kids are talking about this. What are they saying to you?
There's a lot of fear at this time of things like, is there going to be a nuclear war, or is there a World War III, or what is even happening and why? So we try to, first of all, lower the panic level.
Now, as a teacher, as an educator, how are you kind of making sense of this human tragedy, and how are you teaching it to your students?
I believe it's always always good to address it as truth. In other words, we don't gloss over anything about what's happening, that yes, there's an invasion happening, and then to reassure kids it's not happening here, and we're doing everything as a government and as a community to make sure it doesn't happen here. So we don't want kids to live in fear, but we also want them to be aware that we live in a new age, and there is, you know, potential for another Cold War. But the biggest thing is to reassure kids that it's okay to talk about these issues. It's good to think about them, but not to live in a state of fear.
Is there a common theme you're hearing from the kids as far as their questions and how they're looking at this story?
There's a lot of curiosity, and it really focuses us in on geography. Geography is not often taught as a separate curriculum. It's more integrated, but now it really brings back, where is this happening? And basically, students want to know why.
That's Jamestown, New York history teacher Christy Lewis sounding off on the war and how it's playing out in the classroom. A new study calls into question this whole idea of medical marijuana. Family Life's Tracy Lynn explains.
Researchers at Massachusetts General Hospital say medical marijuana fails to improve symptoms of pain, anxiety, and depression while increasing the risk that patients will develop an addiction to cannabis. They warn 1 in 5 users may develop cannabis use disorder. The findings come as a growing number of states now allow the use and sale of medical marijuana to help alleviate symptoms of everything from epilepsy to multiple sclerosis to cancer. Officials determine the only measurable health benefit for medical marijuana is that it helps insomniacs sleep better. The findings are published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
All right, interesting. Thank you very much, Tracy. Your nightly market report is next. It is brought to you by Ambassador Advisors. Family Life's Dave Margolotti has the closing numbers from Wall Street.
Markets had a strong day today with all the major indexes ending higher. That despite the Federal Reserve statements indicating that the Fed intends to raise interest rates as necessary to curb inflation, even if that means raising rates at upcoming meetings by 0.5 point instead of 0.25 point. Oil not moving much today, closing at $111 a barrel. Natural gas, though, moved higher by 5%. Today, the Dow was up 254 points, the NASDAQ gained 270, and the S&P 500 rose 50. Ambassador Advisors is a Christian financial planning firm helping faithful stewards do more online at ambassadoradvisors.com.
All right, Dave Margolotti at the business desk. Thank you very much. You're plugged into the 5 o'clock report, a Tuesday edition, right here on Family Life.
The housing market is like that classic Charles Dickens novel, A Tale of Two Cities. Hi, I'm Rob West with another MoneyWise Minute. You might remember the first line. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. If you own a home, it's the best of times. Your house has jumped in value and you might think you've struck it rich. If you want to buy a home, it's the worst of times. Housing prices seem out of reach and you think you'll never get there. But things could change. Be patient. Keep saving. Don't stretch to buy a house you can't afford. And wait for prices to moderate. What always stays the same is God's promise to meet the needs of those who love Him and seek His will. Stay calm and trust in the Lord. He always provides for His children. We can help you learn to manage your money according to biblical principles when you download the free MoneyWise app. You'll find it on our website at moneywise.org.
Coming up on the 5 o'clock report, the most boring job in the world. Think it's yours? We'll have the answer right after this.
Hi, I'm Kevin Williams, and here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A quiet evening is ahead, but a disturbance that actually turned out to be a very nasty storm system for the southern states, spreading severe thunderstorms and tornadoes, will bring our area a cold rain, a few rumbles of thunder, and a wintry mix as we head into your Wednesday and Wednesday night. In the meantime, for tonight, increasing cloudiness, low temperatures in the 20s and low 30s. Rain will overspread the region tomorrow with a wintry mix at the start. Temperatures will range in the afternoon from the upper 30s in south central New York to the mid-50s in northwest Pennsylvania. Rain will taper to showers and drizzle on Thursday morning. It's a milder day on Thursday with high temperatures then in the 50s and lower 60s.
All right, Kevin, thank you kindly. Finally, five scientists have just identified what they think is the most boring job in the world. Researchers at the University of Essex in Colchester, England, say that job belongs to the person who may be doing your taxes right now, so watch out. The study examined the science of boredom and ranked the occupations considered the dullest in society. Here goes. Number one, data analysis. It was followed by accounting. Insurance, taxes came in third, followed by cleaners, and then bankers. They round out the top five boring jobs in the world. Conversely, the most exciting jobs belong to performing arts. They came in number one. Science was second. Journalism third. Yeah, I'll root for that. Healthcare professionals fourth. And teachers, the fifth most exciting job in all the world. And that's the world we live in. Tuesday, the 22nd of March. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.